Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
All right. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Signs of Life Radio Medium Insights Hour, part of the many valuable services provided by the Forever Family Foundation, where we get to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. My name is Roman Karpyshka, and as your host tonight, I have the honor and privilege of conversing with an amazingly gifted medium by the name of Catherine Nadal. Catherine is a psychic medium and clairvoyant. She's trained at the Arthur Findlay School in England and has also studied with Suzanne Northrop and James Van Praagh in psychic workshops. For the past several years, she's worked with numerous public events, including psychic fairs, teachings, live demonstrations in New York City and in the New Jersey areas and Massachusetts as well. She believes in working with the white light and is very prayerful. She also leads guided meditations, which help students utilize their gifts and develop their hidden psychic abilities. She has international and well-known clients in the music and entertainment business, and her readings are very unique and different. In addition to everything I have just told you, folks, Kathy is also the author of an amazing book called Seeing More Than Clouds in Your Coffee, Stories of a Psychic Medium in New York City. And of course, I'd like to mention that her website, where you can find any information about her, is www.dreamcentralstation.com. All right. So our show is sponsored by a fine levy of supporters such as the Camelot Center, Love Knows No Death, Janet Mayer, Hugs from Heaven, Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Parsietti, and others. And our opening topic, what we're going to be discussing, is the afterlife from a medium's perspective. Cool. Dear listeners, tonight's show, it's conducted for research and informational purposes. Your questions are always more than welcome, but please keep in mind that Catherine will not be performing any readings tonight. So if you have any questions for our esteemed guest, please feel free to call 1-800-627-6008. 1-800-627-6008. So, Catherine, welcome to the show. Is this your first time on Signs of Life Radio?
No, I've done a few shows with them before. They were all reading calls, though.
Oh, they were reading. And, okay, yeah. So this is not going to be as hectic as that. Those are crazy shows. The phones light up. Everybody wants a reading. Yeah. It's crazy. So,
Thank you. Before we dive into our main topic,
tell us about your past. How did you become the person you are today?
So I guess it's been kind of a long journey along the way, but my career actually has been in nursing. And I've been in nursing and in the military for almost 30 years now. And so I started out actually as a little girl being very intuitive and psychic and not really understanding any of that and kind of reaching out to my dad and trying to piece things together. And he was very Roman Catholic. So he didn't really entertain a lot of this stuff, especially when it started coming true. You know, I was seeing visions of people not well or, you know, looking like maybe they would pass away. And it was kind of probably frightening. So he didn't entertain it at all. So I started to keep a lot of that to myself and just push forward towards my career in nursing. So I went into nursing and became a registered nurse, and I wanted to go on for a bachelor's degree. And I thought, I'll just join the military. So the Army Reserve actually offered me an opportunity to pay for my schooling, but then also for have that chance to serve with them. And I thought I was only joining for 8 years, and then 8 years became 14 years, and then 14 became 20. And now I was just about to retire in May. But because I'm a nurse, I extended till next May because of the COVID virus, and they were starting to mobilize a lot of medical people. So I'm going to finish with 30 next May. So it's been quite a long career. Yeah, I actually did deploy to Iraq, and that's probably one of the pivotal times when my psychic ability actually came to the forefront of it. I actually went over with a battle buddy, and I told my battle buddy, you know, I kind of have these visions, and, you know, if I start saying stuff and we have to pay attention to me. And so there was probably like three times, like three big events that happened to us over there. And we did not actually have the impact that we could have had. I mean, there was a lot of close calls, and some of our people actually didn't make it. And so there was just, it was a very stressful time. So as we were leaving, she actually said to me, you have to go home and share this gift. And, you know, of course, you're just like struggling with it all the time because it wasn't always entertained by my dad. So when I came home, I started to talk to my dad and say, you know, I really need to kind of do this stuff. So part of that was starting to kind of document the stuff that I started to do. And I started to do stuff that I was doing in my early 20s, but with the public. I started reading Coffee with the public, and I started writing all the stories down. And it was from writing that's when I really realized that I needed to do this, just like my battle buddy said, and share it with the public. But it was a tough journey, you know, because not everyone is a believer.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of skeptics. I'd say more skeptics than not out there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very materialistic world, right? If you can't see it, if you can't, you know, it doesn't exist, right?
Yeah.
So that's a common view, unfortunately. And, you know, with the science, the way that it is, it's based on very, very materialistic things. And that's where the money goes, and, you know, so that's, but you know what? I keep saying that, you know, with the invention of the internet and people being able to share their experiences online and everything, it's just opening up a whole new world to be able to communicate this dimension.
Oh, yes. That's
which
correct.
Is great.
Yeah.
So great. So, yeah, I was glancing at your background and saw that you employ many tools to execute your trade. Something like, I've never heard of the reading of coffee. I've heard of tea reading. I've never heard of coffee reading. So that's pretty cool. Why don't you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I actually wrote about it in my book, and I have photographs in my book. But it's interesting because one of the first psychics that I actually formally met was a psychic in the neighborhood, and everybody said, you know, go see Francine. She was in Yonkers. She was up Central Avenue. She worked out of her house. And I went there being a skeptic myself, even though I had had visions. And she literally told me, like, the floor plan to the house that I grew up in, that I was still living in. And that kind of, like, opened my eyes to, wow, there is really a lot about this. And then the next person that I had met shortly after that was a woman from Armenia. And she actually would look into a coffee cup. And, you know, some people were afraid to go to her. And I said, no, I'm definitely going to go to her. I'm not afraid. And so when I went to her and she started looking in the cup, I literally started telling her what was in the cup. And she just simply said, you can do this. It wasn't like I was taught. You know, it was just stuff that I could see.
And, now, what are you reading? Are you looking at the grounds of the coffee or the clouds?
So it's kind of interesting because I could read Italian coffee. I could read Turkish coffee. So if you were to go out with me and we'd go to a cafe and you would order Italian coffee or Turkish coffee, you would drink your cup and then I would have you turn the cup over. And it dries for a few minutes and then I flip it over and I start reading the images. And I give you a timeline and I start describing things. And a lot of times it could be an image of something very clearly, like a woman in the cup, or it's defining something like an initial for someone. And it's really kind of interesting because over the years, people have said, well, I can't drink coffee. And so I've read cappuccino, the foam on a cappuccino. And, you know, so I've kind of like been able to be flexible with people. And just recently, I was out with someone probably about a month ago, just when COVID started to open and people were kind of allowed to go get a cup of coffee and sit outside. And I said, do you want me to do your coffee cup? And because of COVID, they were not using any porcelain ware. So everything was served in cups. And I said, just get it in a paper cup. And I said, you'll be my first paper cup reading. And it was completely great. I mean, she could even see it. She was photographing it and putting it on Instagram and everything. So I really realized that I can kind of push past my own limitations and see stuff for people. But sometimes with coffee, it's like 50-50. Some people are more scared of it because they can actually see something. And the other group of people want the coffee because they can actually see something, and then it's less scary for them. But for most people, it's a novelty. It's kind of very similar to tea reading, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So is that one of the main tools that you employ for your readings?
So, I mean, if I was in person, if I was meeting up with people, most of the work that I do now, I would have to say 95% of it has been online readings. Like, I'll either Skype or phone. In person, I mean, years ago I used to do house parties and such, but now over the years it's just been too hectic trying to juggle everything between the military and nursing and, you know, where I was living and stuff. So,
That's really interesting. So our main topic tonight is the afterlife from a medium's perspective. So can you provide us with your opinion of what we can expect when we shed our physical bodies?
Yeah, I find this very interesting because I talked about it in my book. But many years ago, I went to New York City to a hypnosis session in an effort to stop smoking. And the man actually put me into a hypnotic state. I mean, I guess I went quite deep. There's different levels of hypnosis that you can go into, but apparently when I was coming out of it, I was like sitting up on his couch reaching out, and he had asked me, what was your vision, what did you see? And I felt complete peace. I was calm, and I said that I had seen a field of wheat, and it was so inviting, so warm, and so important that I wanted to reach out and I wanted to follow it. And, you know, at that point, he was, like, kind of very surprised. And, you know, he said to me, you know, of course, in hypnosis, they try to explain, like, how does that relate to how you feel that you're releasing, you know, smoking or that kind of thing. But that image made such an impact on me because it was the first time as a medium, as myself, as Catherine, that I actually thought, when it is time to go, what is in front of us will be far more important than what we're leaving behind. Now, of course, we don't want to leave our families, and of course, we don't want to leave our lives, but there will be a higher power calling us. We will be going towards what we need to go to. And two very significant people in my life were very ill, and it was my cousin Tommy, and it was my dad. And I kind of helped take care of both of them, and both of them specifically asked me, what do you think? What do you think I'm going to find? And I told them both about the wheat. And it was completely different times. Tommy was in 2012. My father was in 2016. But they both had the same smile and calmness on their face when they had heard about the vision and about being driven to go forward. So in nursing, as a very young nurse, I actually started to witness what patients went through. I worked on an oncology unit, and I was very young. I might have been 22 years old, and I worked the evening shift. And there was a patient that was very adamant that her husband had been there at 2 in the morning. And I said, oh, no, we have security teams, and they come through here at 9 o'clock, and they do a clean sweep, and it's impossible, you know. And she said, no, I saw him. He was here. He was checking on me. And I didn't know that he was already passed. And the next day when I came in, she wasn't in her bed. And I went down to the nurse's station, and I had a very – my the RN I worked with, we kind of tag team. We were always on shift together. And I said, Gloria, I said, oh, my God, the woman. And she said, oh, yeah, she died this morning. And I said, my God, she was so adamant that her husband was there. She said, oh, yeah, her husband passed away a few years ago. And it was, that was like the first time as a very young nurse, almost like the naivety of me to think, like, how did I not pick up on that kind of a thing? So I do believe that we're met by others, but it's that feeling of wanting to go forward when it is time. That's the way I feel that that experience occurs. Have you heard anything like that, similar?
Well, I have. I've myself, just like many of our listeners, turned to Forever Family Foundation because we were bereaved, through tragedies in our lives, that kind of thing, which is, part of life. And, ever since I started studying all of this, I was, I've read quite a bit about that. That definitely matches what you just told me. And I've had friends that had told me that when their significant others passed away, a lot of the times they said, the last thing that they saw on their faces before they transitioned was like wonder, like this, seeing something that, like, the veil just, opens up and there's like a complete wonder in their eyes, like, or amazement at what they're seeing, kind of thing, right before they transition. And those are, like, the ones that are conscious. Obviously, some people, if they're in comas or whatever, and they transition right that way, then there's not much that can be done. But I've heard of people coming out of comas and being completely lucid and then, transitioning at that point. So, yeah, I mean, what you're telling me is definitely definitely in line with the common literature and what everybody else has experienced. So, like I was saying, have you, we're all here because, we want to learn about the afterlife. We're in some sort of bereavement, that kind of thing. Can you say that, other than your experiences with your, when you went to see the hypnotist, when you communicate with the afterlife, your signs of the afterlife or your vision of the afterlife, how do you receive the messages? Is it through communications or have you actually been there?
Yeah, so how I work is I'm clairvoyant, which means I can see, and I'm clairaudient, which means I can hear.
Okay.
And those abilities that I have work with me as I'm working as a medium. So sometimes I'll actually see the person that's passed over. They're showing me either a scene, like the scene of a crime, if they happen to have passed in a difficult way. Mm-hmm. Or they'll show me scenes of a memorial service. Or they'll show me scenes of, like, the favorite vacation or whatever. It's like little tiny movie clips that I see. A lot of times I'll start hearing them say statements to me. Like, it could be, like, that's what they, like, a nickname. Like, if they were, they had a formal name, but someone in the family called them the nickname. They will keep repeating the nicknames until I say it. Because they want that message to come through. And the biggest thing for me when I work as a medium is I have learned to basically just repeat everything that I see and hear because it's what they're presenting. So even if it doesn't make sense immediately, I tell the person, write it down because I can't just dismiss that. And many times I've gotten feedback like, within a day or two, it was just like amazing. Like that was like, oh yeah, that was, something that was done. So
actually those are the best evidential things because if the sitter themselves is unaware of something that you told them, but find it out later, then that is very, very evidential.
Yeah. And it's amazing too, because, I've done so many readings fairly recently and one would think the obvious, one would think like, someone would show you something. And this is what I do a lot of times when I work as a medium. I explain to families that I'm working with is I can't, like the obvious, like if somebody had like a difficult passing, the family is still grieving the way they passed. And to them, that's the obvious. A lot of times when I work with spirit, they want to talk about things that they want to talk about. Like they want to revisit things that were exciting to them or things they were proud of. And many times, especially when I work in difficult circumstances, they may not want to show me some of that. And I find it interesting because just like humans, just like people, when you meet them, It's how you meet them, what they want to tell you, what they want to communicate with you. You know, so it's not the obvious all the time. You know, a lot of times it's the one or two really rare things that they say that strike such a chord, and it's like amazing because it shows their genuineness, and it shows that, especially with the children, you know, how innocent they were and, you know, what was really important to them at the time, you know, the big deal kind of stuff. And that's hard for people because there's a lot of work. And most of the messages that I get is Spirit is relaying to us how grateful they are. And there's many times messages about forgiveness and understanding. And some families actually have to work through a lot of aspects of blame. They might feel that there's some blame attached to some of this. And I really feel that the work that mediums do actually helps bind the family members with all of these aspects of grief, that it's not just missing the person, but it's the circumstances around the person or the circumstances around the illness or the things that were going on with, you know, personalities or whatever.
This so is very I think fascinating, Kathy.
Yeah,
very
it's amazing because
yeah.
it really is amazing because if I just wrote down every odd thing that I hear, that alone would be amazing because it's what is important. And one thing that I recently said to someone in a reading, which to me is phenomenal, which I didn't really realize until probably about the last 5 years or so, is that they are very much aware of what's still happening with us. They cannot tell us what to do. They can't influence us what to do.
Right.
But many times in a reading, they'll state something, like they're aware of something. You know, a new baby is around, or someone's getting married. And there's like this feeling that they still are aware of what's going on with our lives. It's because of their love for us and their love for us and our love for them, that they're aware of that. That connection is there, and it's so strong, especially when they're excited. You know, I hear applause on the other side in a reading. I hear, oh, they're clapping on the other side. And a lot of times on the other side, when they want to talk about someone being so important in the family, they'll put like a Burger King hat on. I see that quite often when they put like, you know, a Burger King hat, you know, and I go,
Absolutely.
Wow, you must have been like the favorite in the family. They just put a Burger King hat on you. And people laugh. But I mean, sometimes the vision for me has to be shown that way for me to be able to relay it.
Right. So, Catherine, we're going to take a short break.
Okay.
We're going to continue on this topic. This is very, very fascinating and many more questions to come, and I'm sure you're going to enlighten us. So stick around, listeners, and we'll be back right after this break.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com. That's KAMLAK.com for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back to Signs of Life. And we are here having a wonderful discussion with Catherine, and we're going to keep talking about, you know, the grief from a medium's perspective. And I just wanted to ask Catherine, you know, Catherine, you are obviously a very accomplished medium, and you, because of your firsthand experiences with, you know, with the dead, with the, or incarnate, as we like to say, your take on it is different from our perspective. So I'm just wondering, does that affect the way that you grieve? Like, is the way that you grieve different the way that we grieve? Because we hear things from mediums. Us non-mediums hear things from mediums, and, you know, it's anecdotal because you relay the information to us of what you see, what you experience. But you're actually experiencing and seeing it. So does that have any kind of effect on your grief when you do grieve?
It's interesting because we're still all humans too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
That aspect of it is we're going to grieve probably as much as you would be grieving. However, I think that there's a sigh of relief, you know, when my father passed or when Tommy passed, I was knowing that they're going to a good place and that they will still be able to communicate. So the importance to me as being a medium is knowing that anyone, when they pass, you know, their messages can come through a medium so that we really haven't lost them. However, as a daughter, as a friend, as a cousin, I'm grieving, you know, just like anyone else, the human aspect of it. So we're always going to miss that person. We're always going to miss that connection we have with that person, even though it's different. The,
right.
The feeling that I have, the peace that it brings to me, is that I've been able to bring peace to others, and I've actually had people deliver messages to me that have brought peace to me. So that understanding of communication from beyond is what kind of brings me up out of that grief. But even some of the readings that I do, you know, the very difficult readings, and people's experiences are very difficult. So even though I don't know the family, or even though I don't know the person who passed, sometimes after a very heavy reading, I actually grieve that person, the spirit that I've communicated with, because they had made such an impact on others. So
right.
In a reading,
okay.
I actually feel like I get to know the person who passes. So it's a different feeling. It's not just relaying information, but you can feel their personality and see their pride and hear about all their accolades and the things they did in their life, that you really have that same feeling of how the family's grieving for this person, you know? So there's many different aspects of grief, I think, for a medium. There's the personal grief, you know, family or loved ones, but then it's also having that shared grief with your clients and the family members that you're working with.
I read somewhere that as spirits, we actually signed up for some kind of a fast-track spiritual advancement learning program when we bravely agreed to incarnate into this world. Does that make sense to you, given what you've seen and learned?
Yes. I teeter on that concept, because I'm not sure if you're referencing, a few people have asked me over the years, like, is there a set date that we're supposed to pass? Is that what you're referencing?
Well, just that I'm more referencing the fact that, you know, that we always were spirit, we'll always be spirit. And our spirits right now, or at least part of our spirit, I mean, as from the many books I've read, is incarnated into this physical form as human beings.
Correct.
And we're here for a, you know, a blink of an eye, a very
Correct.
Short time compared
yeah.
to the rest of it. And that basically when you're in spirit, you know, you want something, you want a cheeseburger, boom, it materialized in your hands. You want, you know, you want to be somewhere, boom, you're there. You just have to think of it, and it basically happens. Whereas in the physical world, there are so many limitations, physical limitations, health limitations,
yeah.
cognitive limitations. So you're really struggling here in the world to it's more of an effort to get anything said and done in a physical world. So, and that makes for a deeper type of spiritual learning. So that's why we signed up for it, because everything is easy in spirit, whereas
That's right.
in the
yeah.
physical, it's a lot harder, and it's a harder lesson learned. So it's kind of like a
That's
fast
right.
track. It's like a boot camp,
yeah.
you know what I mean?
That's right. And I also feel with that, it's interesting, and I don't know if you've seen this with people that you've met, but some spirits that come here and they're in family, they may not live very long, or their passing might be quite sudden. And
mm-hmm.
It's like their work was done. They came here maybe not necessarily to learn a lesson for themselves, but to help someone else on their journey.
Oh,
and
yes,
I find
groups.
That very, very, very interesting. I recently worked with someone who had lost a child, and it was so clear in the reading that child came here directly to work with that one parent. I mean, of course, they were around both parents, but there was so much work done in such a short period of time that it's like a soul development. And sometimes these souls come into our lives and they do that development, and then it's like they move on. And that piece of it is like there's so much work. And that's I appreciate what you say, because life, they say life is hard and there's a lot of lessons here, but that's what I think. Some spirits come here to do the work, and some mm-hmm. spirits come here to help others do the work. And
right, yeah.
we don't know if we're a helper or if we're the doer. You know, we don't know our roles. We just kind of have to, you know, look at that. But there's quite obviously, I mean, in the readings that I've done, there's so many souls that have come here to help others on their journey. And that I find fascinating. And
right.
they go on, you know, they move on, and they're helping again on the other side. But I find that very interesting, because life is really very difficult. It doesn't matter what you've accomplished or how much you have and all of that. Like, you know, Life is difficult, you know, and I think people have really, really understood that fairly recently through COVID, because you don't necessarily need everything you thought you did.
Yeah, that's very, those are words of wisdom, definitely. And it's, you know, it's not how much money you make or, you know, if you're buried in a gold coffin or whatever, it makes no difference. I think it's, you know, how you affected people while you were here, you know, and their memories of you, what kind of memories will they have of you? That really defines your legacy.
Correct, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So, on the flip side, what do you think about spirits? Like, do they grieve us because they're no longer in the physical? You know, you see some of these movies where, you know, they're walking around thinking they're alive, but they're not, and they can pass through things, and they can't affect the physical. So, I mean, that's Hollywood. I know it is. But
More
from a perspective, like from the spiritual side, I know a lot of the times that they're with us, but a lot of the times they're doing their own thing, you know, progressing their spiritual development on the other side. Some mediums have told me that they're always with us. Some people told me that they're not always with us. What is your take on that? And do they grieve for us because they can't, that because that relationship, the physical relationship has changed?
Yeah, so I find that very interesting because sometimes people can feel spirit literally right around them. You could feel them. I mean, literally feel their presence around you.
Well,
or there's
you
a
could.
Gust of
not me.
Some people actually that aren't at my level have felt that too. But
okay.
But it's strange sometimes when things happen. You know, like there's a gust of wind that comes from somewhere. You know, things happen.
Signs.
Yeah. Okay. Things happen. And I recently told this, and I talk out loud very often to my dad. I go, oh, my God, can you believe this? And, you know, because he and I were like, we were buddies. You know, that was our thing. And I recently told this story to someone, but they literally will show us things, and we just can't believe it. So, like, when he wasn't well, I told him, listen, you know, I wrote the book. He was aware I wrote the book. And I said, there's signs and symbols. You'll see them on license plates. You'll see them all over the place. And he was kind of fascinated with that. He never really saw signs or anything like that. And about a year ago, I was driving in the Bronx, and I was talking out loud. And I was driving from one light to another. And I was talking out loud in the car to him. I was talking about a situation he would have been aware of and whatever. And when I got to the second light, I looked up, and the car that was in front of me had a license plate that said JCN309. My father's name was Joseph Castellano Nadal, March 9th. That was his birthday.
No kidding.
And I said, oh, my God, because here I was telling him about my book and people do it on the license plates and whatever. And I was like, wow, like if I did not, like, almost fall out of the car. I mean, I was like, oh, my God, because, you know, even though I did all this and you know, he was very much aware of my life and he read the book and the whole thing, but he was still his Roman Catholic in the whole, you know, scene.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
I thought, geez, one of the main things that I told him was about the license plate. And it was right there. I mean, it was that's like amazing. And I thought to myself, wow,
like
you know, so they are, or I truly believe they are around us all the time. They cannot tell us what to do, and they cannot make things happen for us. Like, I can't say, Dad, you know, find Mr. Right for me or whatever. I mean, I can't do that, you know, but when I was talking out loud in the car about a situation, one he would have been very much aware of, and then I see that, he's sending his signal like, yep, I'm still here. I know it's still going on, you know, whatever it is, you know, don't worry about it. Sometimes it's stuff like that because I don't think that they can, you know, they can't make things happen, like you said, you know, but they're letting us know that they haven't really left us.
Right, so that JCN 309, that's you believe that's a, I mean that's a that is a very clear sign. That's
Oh, my God. It is so that is so amazing. Because my dad made such a big deal out of his birthday. March 9th. I mean, his mother used to call him at 7 o'clock in the morning. I mean, into her 80s. She'd call him because she had him in the living room, you know, in 1929. And she used to call him at 7 o'clock in the morning and go, "Happy birthday, Joe." Even into her 80s, she was calling him. Yeah. Yeah.
So they probably don't miss us the way that we miss them because they're with us and they see us. Is that what your belief is?
I agree to that. Okay. It's not the feeling of missing. It's the feeling that they really haven't left. They haven't left us. They're connected.
Right. That's going to be, I mean, I'm obviously not in any rush to leave this life, but I'm really looking forward to the next one.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's amazing. I mean, the older you get, the more people that are on the other side, right? So it'll be a big old
party,
right?
That is true. That is so true. Oh, boy. Yeah, so what is your take on reincarnation, for example?
I'm so fascinated with it. I really am fascinated with it because I have a best friend who's in the music business, Rob Caggiano. He's in a band called Volbeat. And we have been friends for at least 25 years. And we joke around all the time. I go, "We had to be in a past life together. I don't know if I was your sister or whatever, but I truly believe that there's some people in your life that you have had in another life. Because it's like day one, you meet them, you're instant friends. Like I have a best friend, the girl that I grew up with, Cookie. We're friends 42 years. I remember meeting her like in the fourth grade or fifth grade, and we had lunch together in school, and we've been friends ever since. There's some connections with people. You just don't understand it, you know? And even when I hang out with Cookie's family, I almost even look like all of them. We do all the sisters shot, and I stand with the sisters, and I look like I'm one of them. So I really believe that we are connected to some people, not all, you know, and every once in a while, if you come across a difficult person, you have to stop and say, "Geez, why are they always on me? Why are they always on me? Like they're relentless, like, oh." And you start saying like, "Geez, maybe I did have like a past life connection with them and we have to work this thing out. You know, maybe that relationship in another life, didn't, you know, go very well, and that's part of the life work." But I'm fascinated with it because my mother passed very suddenly when she was 52. And over the years, I found stuff. And she had a signed book by Jean Dixon on reincarnation. And I had never had any conversations with my mother about anything. And I thought, oh, wow, that's so interesting, because that book probably was from the 70s.
Very interesting. Yeah. So guess what? We got to take another little commercial break. And, I mean, this has been fascinating. Stay tuned, listeners. We got a little bit more coming your way and some really good insights from our esteemed guest, Catherine Nadal. Okay, we'll be right back.
The Camlac Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlac Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925 1-800-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program. Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name is Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death. Heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love knows no death. A groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at ForeverFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
So welcome back, everybody. I hope everybody's enjoying the show, having a great evening. We are here talking to Catherine Nadal. And right before the break, we had some interesting conversations about reincarnation and all that. But just to move on, before I forget and it slips my mind, I mean, Catherine, you have such an amazing background that most people, if people go to your website, they can read it for themselves. And there's some really interesting things on there that I've read that you've taught, such as moon dancing. What is that all about?
Yeah, so actually, moon dancing, I talk about it in the book, and I worked with Suzanne Northrup many years ago. She had taken a group of people to Mexico, and we were doing a lot of work there. She had a small group together, and everybody was working on basically holding an object, explaining an object. She walked us through a lot of different lessons.
It's psychometry, and I think, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we had worked with, I'm still friends with a lot of the girls that were on my trip. But she had a small group, probably less than 12. And out of everyone in the group, I was probably the only one that had been really doing a lot of this stuff. And I said to Suzanne, do you want me to teach your group how to do a moon dance on the beach? And she thought it was thrilling. She said, of course, you know. So basically, I was teaching them, and I've taught people over the years, even children, that the energy of the moon, you know, and there's different phases of the moon, and you talk about the moon. Actually, every month there's a different name for the moon and the energy that the moon provides us. So I do like kind of like this kind of a ritual dance, but it's in asking for something. And it's actually worked very often for promotions. I've actually had people say, you know, they were interested in a police promotion. Could you do a moon dance for me? And I would do them. And it's basically you're drawing down that energy of the moon and you're bringing it back. And it's very similar to what I do every January. On January 1st or the 31st of December, I'll go to the beach. And I actually do a ritual at the beach because the just like the water, the ocean has energy. And what you're doing is that year that you just lived, it might have been the best year of your life or the most difficult year of your life, you're sending it back to the sea and you're bringing the energy and the power of the new year back to you. So a lot of people enjoy that. I've had so many different people want to do that beginning of the year kind of ritual thing. And a lot of people really enjoy the moon dance, especially
wow.
Kids, you know. Yeah, oh, yeah, they think it's fun, and they learn about the phases of the moon. But it really,
I was picturing more like,
the,
you know, what Michael Jackson does, you know, the moon. But that's the moonwalk.
No. Yeah, no. Yeah.
But on break, you were also talking about, you were telling me that you also pay a visit around Halloween time to Buffalo to do other kind of ritual things, right?
Yes.
Around Halloween,
so
what is that all about?
In Halloween, most Halloweens I've worked in Salem, Massachusetts. Probably 7 or 8 years I worked in Salem, Massachusetts, and I work as a medium for them there. And also, I visit the Iron Island Museum, and the Iron Island Museum is a haunted museum, and I work with the Buffalo Paranormal group there. And that's kind of different because when you go through a place that's kind of haunted, it gives people just like a different idea of, you know, different things that happen. And it's kind of interesting. But Salem for me is like a second home. I've spent so long in Salem and I have, you know, I have family that lives up in that area. So going
Great.
There is like going home. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. So before we conclude our little session here, I want you to tell us about your book, Seeing More Than Clouds in Your Coffee. And that's a really good reference to that song there from the 70s.
Yes, Carly Simon. I actually
Carly
gave
Simon,
her
yes.
credit. I legally had to give her credit in the beginning of the book. I had to write
kidding,
it in
huh?
there. Yeah.
Wow. Okay,
but,
okay.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. That book is a very small book, and I wrote it small on purpose because most people have trouble reading. Like, they can't sit down and read a big book anymore. So it's basically a short, and it's a snapshot of different things, you know, signs, symbols, coffee readings, you know, mediumship, different aspects, you know, in a small, kind of
okay.
small book, you know, less than 70-something pages or something. And
right.
it's kind of interesting because it's small enough, but it touches on a little aspects, you know, the meanings of things. So I like that book. And my friend Claudie Benjamin, she actually was the illustrator for that. And I love it because she made it that Tiffany blue-green color. And the artwork, she has me laying on a cloud, and she has me in Grand Central Station reading a cup of coffee. So it encompasses the whole concept of my you know, company, Dream Central Station, because Grand Central Station is kind of a place where people go to get somewhere else. So going to Dream Central Station, you come to me to get somewhere else, either to get through your grief or to get, you know, some kind of a, you know, different idea of something. Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah, and yeah. People can order that book through your website.
Yeah, it's actually on Barnes & Noble and Amazon, yeah.
Okay, great, great. I will be sure to order a copy of that.
Thank you.
Very, of course, absolutely. So, yeah, so this has been super interesting. We learned a lot. I mean, I hope you had a good time. I know that our listeners were, I'm sure if I'm speaking for them, but I know they have found it fascinating. And we just, you know, before we leave, I just want to give one more plug to your website. It's dreamcentralstation, all one word, .com. And there you can find links to your book, and there's a gallery of all kinds of pictures from your coffee, from coffees, and other links that you have, including some of the services and how to get a hold of you and all that kind of stuff. So, again, it's dreamcentralstation.com, everybody. I urge you to go to that website. And for now, thank you very much, Catherine. It's been pleasure having you on board, and
yes,
we will talk soon. And for now, good night, everybody.
Good night.